Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's me, Ethan, your favorite lore boy. I need you to do me a favor, okay? I need you to imagine a universe where square worlds spin around gemstone suns, where planets lie cradled in the roots of an oak tree so vast its leaves twirl around brightly burning stars, where ships of wood sail the void between worlds and battle each other with catapult and ballista, spell and sword. I need you to buckle up for the Spelljammer episode of the Lore Boys Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Lore Boys.
It's Lore Boys.
I'm Ethan. This is a podcast. You're Peter.
I am. Upside down Jamie, because I washed my hands before for good luck instead of my feet.
Instead of his feet, which for those at home who don't know, our other co-host who's currently in Poland likes to wash his feet before every cast.
Yeah.
Some consider it a ritual. Some consider it just good hygiene. We're a podcast that talks...
Technically, it qualifies as both.
Well, does it, though?
Yeah.
When you think about it, though, really?
Would you really, like, when baseball players chew, like, a dangerously huge wad of gum? That's a ritual.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah?
Call them, jawbreakers.
What?
When you wad so much gum and tobacco together that it breaks your jaw.
Ew.
Okay, believe it or not, we're a podcast that talks about nerd stuff, not just chewing tobacco and dirty feet.
Yeah.
And our clean feet. I'm your host, Ethan.
Dirty feet and their transformations into clean feet.
Peter, I already introduced you, but would you like to take a run at it yourself as well?
Yes, I'm Peter O'Donohue, proud new parent of a PlayStation 4.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You got a PlayStation.
And a proud new parent of some dank-ass alliteration, apparently. yeah, I got the... my name's Peter. I'm the proud new parent of a PlayStation 4. I got the PK Subban PlayStation 4 bundle.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you traded it in for a Horizon Puro Pawn.
Yep. I'm glad that PB Games GameStop still does the old hustle of buy a bundle, take the bullshit out, and buy something you actually want, because
yeah.
They traded NHL 19 towards the purchase of the console.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's not bad.
And EB Games trades are cool, or GameStop trades as well. I used to work for the company. They go in before tax, so they take off the amount and then tax the remainder.
So you
actually do save quite a lot of money there.
That's good. Good for you, GameStop / EB Games. You're doing God's work.
And yeah, I've been playing, in the past 3 days, I've played about 8 hours of Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
And then my controller died, and I just went back and played Warframe for 3 hours.
Yeah, I was on Steam.
Razzing my balls.
When Peter was playing, right after Peter got his PlayStation, I should say. And then, like, Peter's like, yeah, I got the PlayStation. And then, like, 2 hours later, he's, like, playing Warframe. I'm like, oh, really, Pete?
Yeah.
You're gonna buy the methadone, and then you're just gonna go back to heroin anyway.
I'm like, not an right addict. Away. The controller died, okay? And the cord is too short to reach my couch, so I couldn't keep playing. I sat on my coffee table for a while, but it was uncomfortable, so I tried. Fuck.
Warframe is an MMO that Peter likes to play and is addicted to.
Hopelessly.
So, Peter, what are we talking about today, though?
Not a clue. I came into this as a surprise. You wrote the script, and I have asked no questions thus far.
At this point in the recording, Peter, my co-host, knows less about the episode than you, the listener, does, because it'll be titled after the actual content of the podcast.
That's true. So why don't you go on Twitter at Pete O'Donohue and tell me what the episode's about?
Yeah, right now before we start.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to talk about Spelljammer.
What?
Spelljammer is a campaign setting for Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay. I thought it would be a D&D episode.
Yeah.
Because
my fallback.
It's a reliable old friend.
Yeah, that's it. It's a gold mine for just whatever lore. Anytime, just pull it out.
Ethan heads back to the old watering hole.
I was gonna take
another sip.
just
pulling up mud.
Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons is my Warframe.
It is. Yeah.
I was gonna do a Pathfinder episode, and I figured because I play Pathfinder, although I'm maybe gonna be joining a 5e game pretty soon. 5e being 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I have a character sheet PDF for that.
Cool. What's your character?
I've talked about this before.
Oh, you're two dwarves and a trench coat.
Yes.
Okay. As a first-time character, a bold choice.
Thank you.
I'm
nothing if not bold.
I was going to do Pathfinder, and then I figured, hey, we've already done 3 episodes on Dungeons & Dragons, so whatever. Let's
two and a half. Was it one was also about magic?
It was, yeah, more like 2.1, really.
The Ravnica.
But, yeah. So
go back and listen to that.
We did one on... Do you remember what the first one was about? That deep breath. It was about something called Karsus's Folly, which was an event which led to the rewriting of the rules of magic because a wizard named Karsus decided to usurp the god of magic and broke all magic for a second and caused floating cities to crash to the ground horrifically.
I remember that.
And his last moment of life was him freezing in place as he was turned to stone.
Cool.
And that's why, canonically, in Dungeons & Dragons, you can't have higher than a 9th level spell.
Yeah, because I remember you telling me the higher level spells are like world-ending... Like, way too powerful to control,
that's
apocalypse
it.
Magic, basically?
There was higher spells, which could be created, based on the rules of magic before Karsus' Folly.
Yeah.
And then when Karsus did that and broke all magic for a split second and caused the deaths of millions, the god of magic quickly took over again and said, well, we're just going to fix it so this doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
And
Can't believe I gave you my keys.
Yeah, that's it.
like a shitty valet.
Yeah.
Two stones to park a Ferrari. It just runs through a bunch of bikers.
That's it.
Or a bunch of cyclists,
that's
rather.
It. And now no more valets are allowed to drive Ferraris.
Okay.
They're only allowed to drive Cadillacs. Because a level 9 spell is still pretty strong.
That's pretty good.
But it's not a Ferrari.
All right.
Yeah, we did that one. Then we did...
Probably you car lovers out there.
Do you remember the second episode?
Bridge the Gap.
Second Dungeons & Dragons episode we did?
Mind Flayers.
Illithids, their origins, what their deal is,
yep.
How much food they need, what an elder brain is.
Why they have buckets of goo that they damp their brows with.
Yeah, exactly.
While drinking sweaty lemonade.
Yeah, and eating fried chicken.
Oh, no, inventing fried chicken.
Inventing fried chicken.
That's it.
Or flayed chicken.
Yeah. And if none of that made sense to you, please go back through our catalog.
And then we did an episode on Ravnica, which is Magic the Gathering, but there was a recent announcement for a D&D setting taking place in Ravnica, which is coming out next month.
Oh, actually. Good.
We might want to
retweet that when that comes out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about the Ravnica expansion, but I'd be more excited about the Waterdeep expansion, which is just another set of expansions coming out for Dungeons & Dragons. There was also recently Eberron, which we're not going to get into any of that today.
I've heard of Eberron before. There's a video game set in Eberron, isn't there? Is that in the Forgotten Realms?
It's all the Forgotten Realms. So Forgotten Realms is basically...
Is
D&D canon. Spelljammer's Forgotten Realms, Faerun's Forgotten Realms, Dritzduerden's Forgotten Realms.
Right, yeah.
Eberron's Forgotten Realms, Greyhawk's Forgotten Realms, Dragonlance's Forgotten Realms. That's all Forgotten Realms, kind of the umbrella term for all canonical Dungeons & Dragons expansions and settings.
You know, I didn't think I could learn anything ever again on this podcast. I've been doing it, but I learned that.
Yeah, let's see if you retain it next time.
I retained two of those three episodes.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, so we're talking about Spelljammer today, which is a Forgotten Realms canonical D&D setting.
Spelljammers is a silly word.
Spelljammer originally came out for the second edition Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
So it came out in the 90s at some point.
Oh, so that's why it has the radical name.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we've talked about, you know, a wizard being so strong that he's able to take over the god of magic. What's stopping wizards in this world from going to space?
Spelljammers.
No.
No?
Spelljammers is enabling them to go to space.
Oh, so, I thought they would jam something.
No.
Jam the magical signal.
So spell jamming is a term used for when a wizard is literally an engine for a spacefaring ship.
Cool.
So spelljammers, a setting in Dungeons & Dragons where there's people going to space, there's people hopping between worlds in space and going to different not planes, sorry, but just different worlds mostly within the material plane.
Okay.
We did talk briefly about what the material plane was, I think, on the first episode.
We talked about the material plane on definitely the first episode, because we also talked about, like, a bunch of gods that had gone to a bunch of fights in the primordial space as well.
Well, that was the creation of the universe, which was Steve Aoki.
That's it. Yes, it was. The joke in that one was Steve Aoki created the universe.
Steve Aoki created the universe.
That's it.
Steve Aoki creating the universe with his two daughters, Saelun and Char.
Right.
The two sisters, through eternal conflict, created all the worlds and the space between.
Yeah.
The ships these wizards create are basically, like, fantasy ships, because the technology hasn't evolved to the point where it's, like, we have, you know, turbo, we have warp drives, and, like, you know, we don't have, like, thrusters or helicopter propellers or whatever.
No hyperpulse generators?
No, so it's literally just, like boats and ships, and these are just powered by magic in order to leave the atmosphere. Because when you think about, like, flight in Dungeons & Dragons, it's not like you need thrust and you don't need thrust and lift
because it's fucking magic
versus drag. Yeah, it's literally just like you can cast a spell with that something levitates, which just defies gravity, I suppose.
Yeah,
so
I suppose it's magic, Ethan. It's okay. it's an actual magic spell cast by a wizard.
Exactly So it would make sense that, like, why wouldn't they just be able to go to space? You don't need, like, a minimum speed. If they can fly, why can't they just keep flying high enough
and keep, like, an oxygen bubble around the boat
that they end up there? So
that's really fucking cool. It's like Treasure Planet.
Yeah, there's some different. So when they make these ships, they build them so that no matter where you are on the ship, it's like, if you let's think about it like a pirate boat. So you have, like, the deck, then you have, like, the hull, and let's say you have masts.
Yeah.
If you're standing on the deck on a pirate ship in the sea, you're good, right? But if you go to the side, you're going to fall in the water.
Right.
The way these ships work in space is...
Are they like tubes?
They basically have their own gravity.
Okay.
Like any object in wild space, as it's called, has its own gravity. So if you just walk over the side of a ship, of a spelljammer ship, you'll just walk onto the hull and you can walk all the way down the bottom. And you're basically... like, it's like you always have magnetic boots.
So are they shaped like tubes?
No, they're shaped like pirate ships.
Okay, so it's not shaped like... It's not Super Mario Galaxy logic.
No,
where you
no.
stand on a tiny sphere.
No.
Also, Super Mario Galaxy is fucking great.
Fantastic.
It's so fucking good.
My favorite Mario game.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Ooh,
definitely.
Man. You know what? Somebody, at this point... Thank you, everybody, for all the downloads. At this point, saying something like that, somebody might come out of left field at you for that one.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I think
fuck them.
It's pretty universally regarded as one of the best Super Mario games,
yeah.
I would say. And it's because I never had Super Mario 64. For a quick tangent, I never had Super Mario 64.
Oh.
So, like, I played it as an adult, and it is really good.
Yeah.
But I would say Super Mario Galaxy, then Super Mario Sunshine, and then Super Mario 64.
Everybody loves Sunshine as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just great games. Mario games are great. I haven't played Odyssey. I would love to, but...
Maybe one day. Maybe you'll buy yourself a Nintendo Switch.
So it's basically just like they set up planes of gravity, as it's called.
Okay.
So
so you can walk on the outside of the boat, and since it's not in the water, it doesn't matter. You can just walk around the
outside
whole thing.
The boat. You can walk up the mast. You can walk, you know, if you have like a balloon at the top of the mast, you can walk all the way around that balloon, and it's fine.
Okay.
It's basically just how
are the balloons decorative if the magic makes them fly?
You can.
It's like in Bioshock Infinite,
yeah,
where that the all the buildings are actually held up with quantum particles,
yeah.
And the blimps are. From the concept art, I guess, before they put it on the dumb quantum shit.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess maybe if you when you re-enter an atmosphere, it would be useful.
Mm.
So you can give your wizards a break. Like, take a load off. Boys, the balloons got it from here.
Okay, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Or maybe the balloons get you close, so you don't have to fly all the way up through the atmosphere. You just have to fly, like, the last little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The engines were made in a variety of ways.
You can clock out now, boys.
Yeah, that's it. The shift's over.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Morning, Sam.
I'm exhausted from lifting a ship all day.
Morning, Sam. Morning,
it's actually,
Ralph.
Yeah. It's actually just described as, like, the ships were kind of an extension of themselves, so kind of like a Gundam or, like, a Pacific Rim, the kaijus, or...
No, it
what were they called?
Is... Jaegers.
They fought kaijus, and
yes.
They're Jaegers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the Mick Jaggers.
Yeah,
all the members of the Rolling Stones were giant
were
robots.
Giant, yeah, giant
fight
80-year-old men dating 27-year-olds.
Nice
or whatever it is.
That's legal.
Does make it better. Yeah, so the engines could be made in a variety of ways. Sometimes they would just have these forges set up, and they would just throw magic items in them, and literally just burn the magic items and use like the runoff magic energy to power their spelljammers. Sometimes, like I said, it would be two wizards or one wizard at the back of the ship just powering it. Sometimes it would be the Dwarven Gods. The Dwarven Gods is a concept that I'd like to get into for a Dungeons & Dragons episode of the Lore Boys, because all Dwarven machinery is basically just like they're channeling like power or electricity directly from their gods.
Cool.
So like they could power spelljammer ships too. Yeah. A variety of ways to make it work. As long as you have like magic energy, you can basically make a spelljammer. Which
cool.
is what the ships are called. They're called spelljammers.
Yeah.
the process of using magical energy to lift the ship and exit the atmosphere is spell jamming.
Okay.
So yeah, the
just like a big, just scoop a bunch of magic eight balls into an oven. Just
yeah.
Like, shove a lot more eight balls.
Yeah. More magic eight balls. We need more magic eight balls back here.
Get covered in soot with like yeah. the goggle outlines of like from there, just like shoveling eight balls into a furnace. I talk entirely in concept art.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Exactly.
You may never see that.
Yeah, it's a horrible affliction for Peter. Where
yeah,
his whole life is concept, is one big concept art.
Everything I do is concept art. It's a potential doodle on a napkin in a bar at 4 in the afternoon.
Exactly. So yeah, we have Steve Aoki or Ao, however you pronounce his name, yep. Ao, who created the universe with his daughter.
How did we end up at Steve Aoki?
It's spelled Ao.
Yeah.
So I think we just went from AO to AOP.
We have to do research on our own episode to understand what the fuck we're talking about.
Exactly.
Welcome to the Homework Podcast.
Yeah. And him and his daughters created the universe. He created what is called Phlogiston, which I'll get into later in this episode.
I've heard of that
term. It's like rainbow soup. That was just like the entire universe was just one big thing of rainbow soup.
Cool.
And then he had his two daughters, and they... Saloon was order and Char was chaos.
Yeah.
And they always fought. And in their fighting, they created these basically like crystals where order could live in that sea of chaos.
Okay.
So in the space between all those worlds, in that phlogiston, there's three main bodies.
Is that a pH?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I've heard of it. In Team Fortress 2, to take it back to our second episode.
Our first episode that you can find online.
Yeah, exactly. The Zelda episode is lost to time, but it's on YouTube.
I think it's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
Might still be on SoundCloud even.
We had a SoundCloud?
We did have a SoundCloud at some point. It's not important, but...
Yeah,
Team Fortress, Phlogiston. Yeah.
How did I manage to learn two things in this episode? What the fuck? The Team Fortress episode, there is an unlockable cancer weapon for the pyro called the Phlogistonator, which hurls phlogiston at your enemies to atomize them.
Yeah, phlogiston is an actual term from the 18th century. 18th century chemists thought that all combustible bodies had this thing in it, and it was like the essence of combustion was phlogiston. If something can burn, it must have phlogiston in it. Because
it was what, the sixth humor?
Yeah, something like that. It's like basically like it's heat and fuel and oxygen all together.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, so anything that burns, you know, has phlogiston.
What the hell is that?
Excuse my computer. It had a burp. So in that phlogiston, we have three main bodies known as the radiant triangle in relatively fixed relation to one another.
Okay.
Gray space, where the Greyhawk campaign setting takes place. We have Kirin space, where the Dragonlance campaign setting takes place. And we have Realm space, which is where the Forgotten Realms campaigns take place.
Which is what we're talking about. Or where we're currently set.
Yeah, that's where we're going to start. We're going to start.
Where are we touring, Ethan?
We're going to start in Forgotten Realms because that's what we know. What we know the best.
He says, horizontally placing his hand over his brow to shield his eyes from the sun, an explorer.
That bright phlogiston.
Yeah.
That rainbow chaos.
Leans cartoonishly forward.
Pokes myself in the eye with my periscope.
What was that?
I said, pokes myself in the eye with that periscope.
Yep.
So it's not exactly known when the people of Toril, which is the world. Where we talked about Karstus' Empire, where most campaigns take place. It's the main world, Abir Toril, or Toril, as it later became known, because it has a sister planet, they were once the same planet, Abir Toril.
Cool.
And they split into two planets. We briefly spoke about this on the first episode.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, but that first D&D episode was like the second to last episode of season one, so that's almost an entire year ago.
It was a year ago, yeah. I think.
Lore boys are old, man.
Exactly. And older. I didn't tell you what this episode was about, so you never had a chance, Peter.
Older than the rocks.
So it's not exactly known when the people of Toril began traveling into outer space or into the wild space, as it was known, which I think I dropped earlier.
Is it just like frontier space with a bunch of like floating picket fences and cowboys? Yeah, it's like, howdy, stranger.
Howdy, stranger. It sure is wild out here.
Yeah. We're all drifters here, he says, floating through the bar.
Though it's dated back at least as far as the Netheril Empire, which was Karstus' empire.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Which we spoke about in our episode on Karstus' Folly. The Cormanthir civilization of elves began their expansion into wild space in what they saw as a way of countering...
I've heard of that.
The Cormanthir?
Cormanthir, yeah. Or Cormanthir?
Maybe. I believe you. I don't think I've never spoken about it on a D&D
I think episode. I may have encountered that somewhere on the internet by accident.
You heard it somewhere else, yeah.
I don't Google things about D&D. I'm cool, guys.
The Cormanthir elves, it was like, at the time, it was like the biggest civilization of elves.
Okay.
It does eventually fall, but not for like a long, long time. And it's been around for a long, long time. At this point in history, much of the Earth is run by elves, and humans kind of have like a small pocket or a couple small pockets where they're allowed to live by the elves. So when the elves first went to space, they saw it as a way of countering the Netherese expansion into space. They were like, oh, we're going to stop the humans from going to space because those guys fucking suck and they ruin everything.
Okay.
Though,
this is Soviets versus JFK.
Exactly. Though the humans had already been in space for like 500 to 1500 years.
Okay.
At this point. So they've just been there for like a long ass time. And we know this because the epic 11th level spell, which we could have back then, Proctiv's Breach Crystal Sphere and Seal Crystal Sphere were created like 1500 years before the first elf expedition into space.
Okay.
So
did the humans already have like a moon base where they just sent an email to like elves challenge us to a space race, and like 4 days later it just says seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally it's just like okay
yeah. Okay, I think we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get our fastest ship. No, not that kind of race. So yeah, Proctiv's Breach Crystal Sphere and Seal Crystal Sphere are 11th level spells, and remember how I said Saloon and Char were like fighting in the primordial chaos, and they created like these pockets of order?
Yes.
So those pockets of order are crystal spheres, which I'll get into in a second, but this is basically a way to open a crystal sphere or seal an opening in a crystal sphere.
Okay.
High magic ritual was performed by elven high mages with the blessing of then-ruler Mirfis Irithyll in the construction of elven crystalline and monarch spelljammer ships. So the monarch spelljammer ships are like giant butterflies.
Cool.
And the crystalline ones are just like giant crystals which basically like float up into space.
Cool.
Important to note, elves were pretty full of themselves and didn't really have true peace with humans. Humans were forbidden from settling much of the world. So they were basically like, yeah, dude, you can't live in forests anywhere. You better not fuck with forests, dude, because we'll fuck you up. And 90% of the world at the time was covered in forests.
If you know anything about elves, is we loves us some trees.
Yeah, that's it. If you know anything about humans, it's they're going to cut down the forest no matter what you say.
And,
yeah,
exactly.
No matter how beautiful and long-lived the protester is, chained to the tree, we'll still find a way to cut it down.
Chained to a tree for 5,000 years.
Yeah.
Maces him once, just like,
I hate this.
Construction man just like macing an elf in the face.
Yeah, that's it. He's got space mace that he got from space.
So, space mace? What would that just like be like a laser beam where just like cuts the top of his head off? Like, and the tree at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
just like a beam of light. Thin as a piece of paper. Just like, head just slides off.
The whole kit and caboodle. I got it at Target. Space Target. Yeah, so that would be until 1DR, There's like a bunch of different calendars in Dungeons & Dragons, obviously.
We have enough calendars in real life.
In real life.
All of them are incomprehensibly fast. Some have made more progress than others.
Some have made more
progress. I'm talking to you, Hebrew calendar.
Exactly.
Year 5,000.
What
were you doing for 3,000 years, guys?
Yeah. We weren't even around back then, I don't think.
Nope.
So humans were forbidden from settling the world until 1DR. This is just like a random tidbit of information, which I thought was interesting. Like the start of the most common calendar, DR, or Dale Reckoning, actually marks when elves like signed a treaty with humans and were like, yeah, you guys can probably settle in a bit. You guys can cut down some trees.
Okay,
it's cool.
It's fine.
It's cool.
You can make enough.
That's it.
For two log cabins.
That's it. You know, we came to one of your cities and we went to this place called Starbucks. And if you guys cut down some trees, will you build more of those? Because we really like those.
Like a log Starbucks?
Yeah. So it was the Netherese
like
mage.
A little birch bark name tag.
Yeah. Welcome to Starbucks. What can I get you? Elf Frappuccino. So it was the
Elf Frappuccino?
Elf Frappuccino.
How would you spell somebody like a Ow's name? AU or AO or whatever?
AO.
Yeah. How would you spell that wrong on their.
Yeah. OA.
OA.
AOE. Just like. Yeah. Always get my name wrong when I come here.
E-O-U-G-H. Oh, that's just oof.
I got a large Elfuccino for...
Yeah, that's me. It's A-O.
Oh, yeah. You mean A-O?
I see that.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah, A-O. So it was the Netherese mage Oberon who founded Netherrealm's spelljammer industry.
Oberon of Midsummer Night's Dream fame?
Yeah, the same one.
King of the Fae?
Did you know he was known as Father of Realm Space?
I didn't.
By his followers?
I do know that now.
So he basically set up like industry in space. He was like, we're going to send so many ships to space, we're all going to get rich, because there's going to be stuff out there for us to get rich off of.
I don't know if we've talked about this before. I got a buddy of mine who might be on the show one day. I don't know. We'll discuss that.
We'll see.
We're pretty... We got a pretty tight leash on our guests. I'm just saying.
We got an exclusive list right now.
Yeah. And then... yeah, so a buddy of mine one time, like, I was hanging with him and his girlfriend at, like, a Tim Hortons, and... He was just like, why don't we fucking just go out and mine the asteroid belt? It was so much money. And then we were like, dude, it takes 7 months to get to Mars.
Yeah.
You want to spend all that money to go there and then bring it back? It would take like 5 years.
Also, like the...
No one would invest in that.
The asteroid belt is like, it's like an average of like one asteroid every... like 10,000 miles,
yeah,
or something like that. Like,
yeah,
it's not like you see in the movies where it's like you gotta dodge all these asteroids. Space is very empty.
I saw the fucking, you know, exactly. It's like I saw that episode of The Magic School Bus.
Yeah.
And they pass by the asteroid belt and all of a sudden I'm making financial investments. And just like, yeah, that's it.
Look at all that iron out there.
But we
could use that on Earth.
Yeah, exactly. Like, space is real big, so a trillion asteroids.
Yeah.
Like, you could spread that pretty thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I remember talking to him about like industry in space, which is just going back to what you were saying, and like both me and his girlfriend were just like, dude, that's literally impossible. And he got so fucking mad at us. So, like, genuinely mad.
I mean, it's not literal, it's very practically impossible, right? Like,
well,
you could go to the asteroid belt, you could in theory land something on an asteroid,
set up a big
take
net.
Off again. Yeah, just catch an asteroid, bring it back to Earth.
It's like a school of tuna.
That's it.
Where you, like, drag it up, and it's like dolphin-free asteroids.
But then you bring an asteroid back to Earth. It's like in Fallout 4 when your dog runs off to go get something, and it, like, sets off a mine and just blows you up.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You send the dog, it brings back a live nuke, and you're just like, well, I guess that blows me up.
Yep, that's the end of that.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, we're going to set up, he's the Henry T. Ford of his time. He's like, we're going to set up industry in space, blah, blah, blah. While his adventures in
horseless space boats.
Yeah. It turns out that there's a lot of risk associated with going to space. There's a lot of cost associated with going to space.
Just like real life.
That's it. And it's like they get to these other planets. They're like, wow, they have crazy magical artifacts of intense power. And it's like, damn, we have these on our planet too.
What are the threats of going to space? Is it the risk of having your entire ship destroyed by a diamond hard micron thick particle that just punches through everyone you love?
It's more like, there's crazy weird octopuses in the phlogiston, and, you know,
that's much more dangerous.
Yeah, much more like monsters. I forgot to mention, when a ship leaves the atmosphere, it basically just retains a bubble of air, and that's how they live. Any being that leaves the atmosphere of a planet will just retain this bubble of air, to speak. So if you just fly yourself out, your body will get a bubble of air, which would last about 20 minutes, I think it is, in game. So there's, like, entire rules for, like, how long you can last in game.
Okay.
Which is only ever useful, in my opinion, if you're, like, trying to build drama around something. Like, oh, shit, like, things are going wrong. Oh, also, you're almost out of air now, you know?
Okay.
Like, yeah. As opposed to, like, actually calculating the amount of air that you'll need for each trip and, like, where you need to stop to refuel.
Okay,
on air.
Yeah.
Because that's, in my opinion, very boring. So Oberon, while he
there's enough spreadsheets in D&D already, you don't need, yeah, like an oxygen,
exactly.
One
so and some people like that stuff, and if you like that stuff, that's yours and that's cool.
Power
own
to
it.
You.
But for me, I'm like, nah, I'm narrative focused, which is why I like 5e more than 4th edition.
A lot of people hated 4th ed though. Was that the one with the figurines?
I mean, you could play any of them with figurines. It was the one that was much more built around the miniatures, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, so Oberon, while his ventures to space weren't successful in procuring riches, he did invent spells like Banishment, Blink, Dimension Door, Telekinesis, and Teleport, among
cool.
others. All of those are, for anyone who's played D&D, like, you've heard of those spells before. They're yeah. very big. Blink is like you step into another dimension and step out at, like, another place. Same thing with Dimension Door, and Telekinesis is, you know, lift stuff up. And all of these came from needing to find ways to leave those crystal spheres that I mentioned earlier. So,
oh.
Every world or star system or even moons, anything that was just in the phlogiston would basically have a crystal sphere around it. Otherwise, it would just be broken down by the phlogiston.
Presumably, yeah, I was going to say it was, like, presumably be broken down by the soup full of space octopi.
Exactly. The chaos soup. The crystal spheres themselves are crystalline, unbreakable prisms, which separates a body's wild space with the phlogiston.
Okay.
So they they represent, if the phlogiston is chaos soup and it represents chaos, these crystal spheres represent order and in the utmost. So like they are wicked strong, like cannot be broken, just like these bastions of order within the chaos of the universe.
Yeah.
No known way to break a crystal sphere. So they must be traversed by other means, like dimension doors or teleports.
Or blink.
Things like that. Or if, because spell jamming was occurring before Karstus's Folly, you could have things like the 11th level spell Proctives breach crystal sphere and seal crystal sphere.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you could open and close the door, basically, on the way out?
Yeah. Only with an 11th level spell.
So it's 11th level carpentry?
So presumably?
Presumably, yes.
Presumably, the breach crystal sphere would open the phlogiston to the world. So I don't know if you could like drown a world in phlogiston or what, but I don't know.
You can install a screen door on your space submarine. Yeah, what that exactly. spell does, basically.
No. Don't open that hatch. Why? The screen's closed.
It's full of goo. The screen's closed.
No space bugs can get in. The screen is closed.
I guess this is my second Simpsons reference, where it's like they're watching a sci-fi movie from the 50s or whatever, yeah, where the door like on their spaceship blows open, and it's like, oh no, space air is getting in. Everyone put on your goggles. And like people put on goggles, and everybody's just like... And there's like one guy starts smoking.
Because it's the 50s.
Have you seen the original War of the Worlds?
Not the original,
from
no.
the 50s?
No.
Like, the first scene where guy meets girl, like, he gets out of his car, I think, lead doctor, gets out of his car and starts smoking, and then, like, lead lady, second doctor, gets out, and she just, like, comes out and starts talking to him and starts smoking immediately as well, but he, like, lights her cigarette for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, of course.
It's so 50s, yeah. Yeah.
So, spelljammers are often referred to as hopping the spheres because they're hopping between those crystal spheres, because actual travel through realm space would usually be with another crystal as the destination. Usually you're not just like, I'm just going to travel into the fucking chaos of the universe without a plan. You know, usually you're like, well, I'm going to the Greyhawk setting, or I'm going to the Dragonlance setting, or whatever. So the phlogiston, like I'd said, is a rainbow-colored chaotic liquid filled with bizarre creatures who would prey on passing spelljammers.
So is it translucent in any way, or does it just look like, does it look like the shimmer from Annihilation, where it's like kind of this rainbow filter like oil in water?
I haven't seen Annihilation.
Okay.
I read the book. It's not see-through at all. It's very opaque.
So the animals in it navigate how then?
Okay,
well, they're chaos monsters. Never mind.
Scent, or I don't know.
Stupid question.
Yeah. They have feelers. I don't know.
Hey, the space shark can smell a drop of blood from 1,000 light years away.
Exactly.
In the phlogiston.
Yeah. Maybe they can smell the magic that powers the spelljammers. I don't know.
Do they have space shark week?
Yeah, obviously.
To make us all afraid to go in the water again. Yeah.
They lower a guy in like an open cage into a vat of phlogiston, and he's just devoured by space monsters. So phlogiston also has a flow to it. The density of it is changing, so it's not like smooth sailing through. You're kind of like getting bounced and rocked around.
Okay, there's space turbulence.
Yeah, I like to think of it as like a way to conceptualize like hyperspace travel.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, like when you watch Star Wars, hyperspace travel is like, you know, you just see like the stars become lines and it's all like white and blurry or whatever. So
yeah.
You can't really see where you're getting. So like you're not traveling at near light speed in Dungeons and Dragons on a ship powered by a wizard. Instead, you're traveling through this medium with much closer destinations, but it's like similarly, you're stuck in this place where you can't get outside. You can't just leave hyperspace too quickly, you know?
Cause yeah.
I've seen movies before. Maybe you end up.
You gotta learn how to parallel park your wizard ship.
Exactly.
Just to fuck you up. I'm sorry, I trailed off there for a second because I was just thinking like a ship powered by a wizard, and I was going back to my original thing where I was talking about like the old guy who's like the old guy who would shovel coal into the turbines of the Titanic, basically just like soaked almost black with coal. But like instead of shoveling coal, he's like trying to fit a wizard into a tiny furnace. Yeah.
He's got like a wizard. There's like, or not even
just
like
a broom.
Not even like a wizard, but like a modern day magician. Just like got the stupid top hat, like the stupid curly
mustache. Just like,
he's got like a deck of cards and like a flower popping out of his wand. He's like getting shoved into the furnace.
Oh, that might be it. If you've come this far on your Loreboy's meme quest to find out what the art might be, that's pretty close. It might be the modern magician being stuffed into a furnace.
Exactly. Yeah, so that rainbow liquid has a flow to it, it changes density rapidly, and the flow goes one direction only.
Okay.
So the crystals all float within the phlogiston, like move around.
Do they get to choose where they go if it's only got one flow?
So the actual crystals themselves will move within the flow.
Okay.
But the flow only going one direction is relevant because the radiant triangle, which I mentioned earlier,
yes,
those three like main realms, they stay kind of relatively fixed to one another.
Okay.
As they move through the flow.
So do they change with the phlogistonal currents, I guess? Like if it if the triangle has to rotate at some point because the flow has changed, they stay relative to each other.
To each other.
But if the flow changes, it will adjust appropriately, I suppose.
Yeah, like consider it just like a triangle that's fixed,
yeah,
and it's floating down a river. It might spin whichever way. The river always flows one direction.
Yeah, but the points are all...
The points are going to spin around.
They're all and connected to the same point.
And do whatever, and they're fixed to that on that triangle.
Okay.
So
green point, red point, blue point.
Exactly. So with the flow of phlogiston, it's possible to go from gray space to Kieran space, or from Kieran space to realm space. But it's not necessarily possible to go from realm space to Kieran space.
So you have to go around the entire thing if you want to go home.
Yeah, it's rock, paper, scissors.
Right.
So if you wanted to get to Kieran space, you would go to gray space from realm space and then go to Kieran space.
Right.
Phlogiston does not resemble any other known substances. If it's brought inside a sphere, it quickly dissipates.
So we have not managed to use magic to invent more rainbow space goo?
No rainbow space goo. If there ever was a way, it instantly dissipates pretty much. And it's just like, oh, all my space goo's gone.
Just like an expedition. It's just they come back from round the horn of Africa, yeah, with nothing but empty jars. And they're just like, we had so much space goo.
So much space goo, yeah.
Our bounty. We were laid low with phlogiston.
Oh, boy. Now that we've gotten back to the crystal sphere, these horses sure do find it easier to drag this wagon. I wonder why. You think we should check on it? Nah. We're good. I'm ruined. it's like a wizard invented it. But it was like Play-Doh, and he left the lid off, and it just got all hard and can't use it anymore.
Oh, yeah. I heard Plato, like the philosopher.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, Play-Doh, like, yeah, when you get back, and it's like, you're just like, I want to make a model dinosaur, but you left the cap off. And,
exactly,
and
yeah,
now all you've got is a little bright green piece of Arizona dirt.
Exactly. A nice bright green brick. Except, even if you put the cap on phlogiston, it still gets hard.
Oh.
It's also extremely
like
flammable.
Friday night.
Extremely hard. And bright green.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, ladies.
Hey.
Phlogiston is also extremely flammable.
I should hope so.
So if phlogiston should find the tiniest spark, magical or otherwise, it would result in a violent explosion, which would tear apart a spelljammer and ignite the surrounding area.
No carpets.
Yeah, no static.
Yeah.
if you're going to walk across the carpet, make sure to touch the steel hull the whole time.
Yeah.
Or
everybody's wearing one of those, like grounding bracelets that you do when you that you have like when you build a computer.
Yeah,
the little Velcro thing with the spring and the clip on it.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's like all the ships are just wrapped in like that anti-static foil that you when you order like a chip or something.
Oh yeah,
it comes in like a little bag specifically designed for that.
Just a big pile of dryer sheets.
Yeah.
No lint, no carpets.
No lint, no carpets.
And we all smell like mountain breeze.
Yeah, Febreze is fine. So, like I said earlier, phlogiston is not see-through, so it's almost impossible to see your destination when you're traveling through it.
Cool.
You basically fly up to this crystal, you point yourself, you say, like, I'm pretty sure that's where we're headed. How they would know, I don't know. Maybe they have Jack Sparrow's magic compass.
Or standard magic. They're using magic to fly a ship. It's not like a leap of logic if they just, like, understand directions at
exactly.
this point.
Via magic. So it's impossible to see your destination when traveling through it. So when a spelljammer gets close enough to their destination, they can start to make it out. So I guess it's not opaque, it's
cloudy.
Yeah, it's not transparent, it's translucent.
Right, okay.
So
yeah.
When there's enough of it, you can't see through it, but as you get closer, you can kind of see it. You can see the crystal spheres, though the crystal spheres always appear as perfectly flat walls with no apparent curvature.
Okay.
From the outside, but from the inside, they look like spheres.
Right.
So I guess...
similar to our own flat Earth, that to some fools appears as though
around.
It would a sphere. Yes.
Those in the inner circle. at least they'd have you believe that it's round. Now, so I guess it's kind of like traveling through dimensions, but not planes, because we have canon planes in D&D, like the Material Plane and the Feywild and Shadowfell.
Yeah.
But I guess you're traveling through dimensions because when you're inside, it looks, you know, round, and then you go through the second dimension, you warp hole through it. And that's how you travel through space.
Okay.
And so I guess this is kind of like that lesser dimension. So maybe those beings can see through it, they have the perception because they are two-dimensional beings that are used to this. You know,
they have sight of the phlogiston or some
spell
name.
Or not even like a spell. It's like Flatland. You know, where it's where a 2D circle can perceive things differently than a 3D person. Good book, by the way. For anyone out there looking for a good book about math and dimensions,
Flatland.
Written in the 20s or 30s, and it's phenomenal.
I've always wanted to watch Metropolis, speaking of shit from the 20s. It's a sci-fi from like 1929 or something.
Does it have to do with dimensions?
Nope.
Is it relevant at all?
To the 20s. Which you just mentioned.
I did mention the 20s. Yeah, I did mention the 20s.
Hey, relevant to the 20s, don't at me.
Unless you're actually from 1920.
Yeah,
and then thus you're relevant. If you're not from 1920, you are irrelevant to me, to Peter and I.
Yeah.
On this episode of the Lore Boys.
Lore Boys podcast. We hate the 20s.
No, we love the 20s.
Do we like the
20s? We hate everyone, everything but the 20s.
Yeah.
Charlie Chaplin.
Especially the 30s.
Fatty Arbuckle.
Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton. I have no idea if any of those people did movies in the 20s.
Flappers.
It might have been earlier. Yeah, Flappers was definitely the
roaring 20s.
The Charleston was definitely the 20s. Yeah. Flappers was definitely 20s.
Great no Depression. Headbands, just beads to wear around
exactly.
Your sexy haircut.
With a feather in the back.
Oh, yeah.
And one big piece of coral in front.
a gem.
Yeah. So while traveling through the Phlogiston, trying to get to other planets of the Spelljammer universe, all access to other planes is blocked. So those teleport spells that could get you just out or in only work like right on the edge of the crystal spheres, basically.
Okay. Well, there's still gravity or whatever the
magic gravity
equivalent
yeah.
is. Okay, yeah. That's
so spells like Mordenkainen's Magnificent Mansion, which D&D players will recognize.
What'd you just say?
Mordenkainen's Magnificent Mansion. It's a spell in Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
It's basically like you have a little carved door idol. And you cast this.
Oh, is it like a cartoon hole in Bugs Bunny? Can you put it on the wall and then there's a door there?
There's a door there, but it always leads to the same place, which is like a mansion filled with food and like up to 100 spectral servants that can satisfy like, you know, whatever you need. If you need like training dummies.
Twice.
If you need the sex, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a very common thing with D&D players, is they have the sex.
You see, I feel like that's the least true thing you've told me thus far in this sci-fi realm of flying ships through rainbow goo.
Well, they have roleplay sex.
There we go.
I've had sex with more orcs than you have, Peter.
With more orcs?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take that out. I'll take that out.
I feel like I could confidently say that I have had sex with more orcs than you.
Sure.
Real or imagined.
Real.
So yeah, those spells just don't work in the Phlogiston.
Okay.
Like, the blink spell doesn't work in the Phlogiston. Anything that has to do with other planes basically doesn't work in the Phlogiston.
Yeah.
So,
chaos is too great.
Bringing it back to our boy Oberon, while being the father of realm space and inventing these incredibly useful spells are no small accomplishment, Oberon also served to repair damaged relations with the other races of the wild space after most of the Netherese Arcanists had given up on spell jamming towards the end of Oberon's life.
So he's like an emissary and or ambassador.
So if we're just looking at a really small window of Spelljammer right now, Oberon in the Netherese Empire, 600 years before Karsus was even born.
Okay.
It becomes the modern day father of spell jamming. There had been other spell jammers who had gone to space. We knew we could do it. Nobody ever really thought, hey, maybe there's stuff out there that's worth stuff until, you know, 1200 years later, Oberon comes around and he says, hey, maybe there's stuff out there that's worth stuff. So he tries it, finds out, no, there's not really much stuff worth anything out there. And all the other Arcanists at the time who were like, he was like, you know, the tycoon who was like, I'm going out there for gold. And everybody else was like, oh shit, gold rush, let's go. Oh,
okay, yeah.
everybody hopped on board. And, you know, there was like, there was a thriving spaceport in Netheril, along with like a couple other spaceports across the world. But they all get there and everybody else was like, fucking Oberon lied to us, dude. There's no fucking gold out here.
Just a bunch of painted rocks.
That's it. I've been panning this fucking rainbow soup for fucking weeks. I haven't found anything yet.
Not one nug.
Yeah. I did find a horrific squid monster that tore my ship apart. And I also...
in the pan?
Yeah. I also found a rock, which every time I look at it, I get vivid hallucinations. But nothing valuable. So they all give up on it. But in that time... true gold rush chasing fashion, they end up damaging relations with like most of the other races who were in the wild space.
That sounds a lot like the actual gold rush. Yeah.
So like just looking at the Sun Star System realm space. We have like aquatic elves basically on the planet Capri. There's human and dwarven and orc descendants on a planet, so that's like basically...
Is that from the last time people went to space?
Yeah, so like one of the really, really early times that people went to space.
Yeah, like before we invented it for real, exactly. These people managed to do it also.
There's
just like when the Vikings made it to Newfoundland, it's like, yeah, it doesn't count, because they didn't kill everyone.
There's the Illithid, who we knew are from the edge of the universe, the edge of the known universe, basically, as far as we know.
The Mind Flayers also have their own special deal going on, what with their... ridiculously powerful magic and shit. Right?
Yeah, like psionic magic, which is not really magic. It's own brand. So like an anti-magic shell doesn't fuck up an Illithid.
Oh, really?
No, he can still cast magic inside an anti-magic spell because it's not magic. He's using psionics.
So are they immune to silence and like its equivalent?
Yeah,
or whatever?
That's what an anti-magic shell. It's basically like an AoE silence or whatever, and they're immune to that sort of stuff. So yeah, they occupied Glyth, which is another planet in realm space for about 100 years.
Cool. That's not that long.
No, it was a stepping stone for them before they got to, because they got there and they eat brains and they need to eat brains, and I guess they got there and they had like slaves, like Gith slaves.
I remember the Gith. And the Githraki or whatever.
Githyanki and the Gith Zerai.
Yeah, excuse me.
Who I think I said I would do an episode on someday, but it's not going to be today.
They were mentioned in the...
Which are tall goblin pirates who basically use spelljammer ships, but not spelljammer ships, to travel through the astral sea, which is not space, but it's like space. All right. It's where the gods live. There's also celestial dragons that are from the astral sea. And they basically go through there like spelljammers and are pirate. The Githyanki are pirates and the Githzerai are like the good guys. And they travel through there and hunt Illithids.
Okay.
From there. It's their staging point, I suppose.
I do declare there's a few Githyanki coming up on my plantation.
Yeah, exactly.
Dab's brow.
Dab's brow eats a chicken. A chicken brain, I guess. They would only be interested in the brain of the chicken.
Really. That's why they fried the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's how KFC happened. It was they ate just the brain. They're like, "What do I do with the rest of this chicken?"
I do declare, I am feeling mighty wasteful, disposing of an entire chicken body after consuming its neurons.
Gith boy, take this to the fryer. Dunk it in the oil.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't understand what's going on, if you go back to our episode about the Illithids, because they love slavery, we made fun of Colonel Sanders.
Exactly. Which tied back into Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Obviously.
That's what Colonel Sanders was known for.
Yeah.
So with the Faerim invasions of Netheril...
Do you think he was the first living meme?
Colonel Sanders?
Yeah.
No.
Or he became... Is he a real colonel?
I don't know.
Ooh.
We haven't done an episode on KFC.
Oh my god. If we need to do, in a pinch, a dumb joke episode, just like our JFK episode, motherfuckers, guys.
Okay. KFC?
Hear me now. Hark ye to the lore boys.
You do declare?
I do declare. I will do an entire episode about Colonel Sanders.
An entire bullshit episode on Colonel Sanders.
Oh yeah.
I'm about it. I'm all about it.
I know you're about it. You're all about the improv. old man Jamie might not be too happy, but like we'll get him a couple of
sign the contract while he's still in Poland. So.
Yeah, exactly. Shouldn't have left the country, idiot.
Yeah.
Lore Boys is just about Colonel Sanders, the Burger King. It's just restaurant lore now because they all have mascots.
Yeah.
Back to D&D.
The Wendy's
me.
Girl and the time she had a kid with Ronald McDonald.
Did that happen?
Lore Boys canon.
All right, good.
So with the Faerim invasions of Netheril, the Faerim was what sparked the Karsus' folly. They were fighting against these extra-dimensional beings.
Yeah.
Which are basically like tubes with like a circle for a mouth filled with teeth.
That sucks.
Yeah. Being widely disregarded in the realm space community, and the elves of the Elven Imperial Navy constantly harrying Netherese ships. Eventually, the human incursions into space were deemed too costly to continue, barring a few private enterprises and, you know, independent spelljammers.
Yeah, whatever. So it's like Elon Musk and his, whatever, fucking spelljammer X.
Spelljammer X, yeah. Wild SpaceX. yeah, so...
That's the episode title. You've got it. That's it. It's so, right there.
So the reason that this is in the canon is kind of like, if you want to set your spelljammer campaign after this point, you totally can. It gets to a point where, like, there's the spell plague, which we talked about on one episode, I don't remember which episode.
Refresh my memory, because I could. For me, my problem is I always tie the episodes back to the art, because I remember the jokes, because I have to draw the jokes.
The Spell Plague was the goddess of magic, Mistra, got assassinated by another one of the gods, and for a good while. So, like, when Karsus took over the god of magic, it was a split second that he broke all magic, and the god of magic was able to take back control from him, but even in that split second, millions died. The Spell Plague was the goddess of magic was assassinated by another god. And,
who killed her?
I don't have it in my notes right now. We have talked about it before.
I'm trying to remember.
There's like a whole story
this
to
would
it.
Have to be in the first D&D episode we did. Like episode yeah, 19. Yeah, I think like it was, episode 19.
I think it was the first one, because the first one I broke into like just multiple stories from Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, you did like a bunch of setup prehistory so as to build more podcasts upon them.
I did.
It was a foundational episode.
That's it. That first episode was Creation Myth. It was Karsus's Folly. It was probably Spell Plague briefly, and maybe a few other things. So like before the Spell Plague, there was like one or a dual human nation, so like one continent, which still had active spell jamming fleets, the Karatur, up to the events of the Spell Plague. After the Spell Plague, because I assume the ships couldn't fly during the Spell Plague, because
if magic didn't work, you can't get,
The goddess of magic got assassinated. Magic didn't work during the time. So,
well, that would make a lot of sense.
So post-Spell Plague, the only creatures confirmed to still have spell jammers would be a few Mind Flayers with their Nautilus-class ships.
Although, the dwarves, because they channel it from their gods?
No, they just gave up on it as much as everybody else did. So, like, the elves had them leading up to...
what?
Had a couple leading up to it, too. Because they all deemed, like, there's nothing worth it out there.
Okay.
More worth it out there than down here. Everyone's just focused on home, I guess. Yeah. There was an invasion of a demon army called the Army of Darkness, very originally. From space, or not from space, but from the hells, and the elves actually fought a space battle during that time, which is not Spelljammer canon, but the Army of Darkness canon, the campaign or adventure path did have canonically a space battle where the elves, you know, part of their fleet was wiped out by the space demons.
That's cool.
Yeah, and one of their biggest city at the time got ransacked by the demons.
Fucking Doom all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. So after discovering this amazing universe full of powerful forces, the humans of Toril basically deem all spell jamming to be too costly for the return on investment. Everyone kind of gives up on it and says, like, we'll just go back to swords and wizards on Earth.
You know what we hate? Spice.
Exactly. Yeah.
No one will ever want it.
Not too much.
Not in my lifetime.
I found this whole planet full of spice and giant worms. Let's bring it back, guys.
And weird blue-eyed people.
Yeah. No, thank you. I like my corn with no pepper.
What?
Some people eat pepper on their corn. Some people don't eat pepper on their corn.
That's odd. I put margarine on my corn.
Just?
Yeah.
Wow. Very boring.
Corn margarine, man.
That's the whitest thing.
Yo, the fucking peppers. Ooh, this corn is too spicy.
This corn is too spicy for my little baby mouth.
Yeah. Oh.
So that's pretty much what I have written down. Although I do have a half sentence written, so I feel like...
Get through it.
No, I'm saying I have a half sentence written.
Oh.
Like Google lost half a sentence on me.
What's it say?
Even they had lost the... And we'll never know.
Loreboy's out.
oh, no, I know what it is. So it's right after the Illithid point. So the Mind Flayers do have a couple ships left, but they had lost the technology to make more ships, even though they have the ships.
Oh, okay.
They don't have any backwards engineers.
I was going to say they can't reverse engineer their own ships.
Nope.
It's like, what is it made out of? I don't know. It's made of tree meat. I just don't understand it. It's like... The men of the earth call it wood. No, damn it, that's insane.
They're like, they're a society of people.
Did I just coin the term tree meat?
Tree meat? Nah, maybe.
Maybe.
They're literally a people ruled by a giant brain. And they can't,
I know.
Full they of, can't it, figure it out.
It sits in like a slime vat full of dead
but
mind flayers.
Baby mind flayers and brains that they threw in there for
right.
to eat.
Right.
So
right.
brains and then the baby mind flayers. And old dead mind flayers too. You're
yeah.
right.
I remember that episode.
Yeah, so they throw the bodies in there and say, like, oh, you'll be absorbed into the Elder Brain. When you're gone, you'll have consciousness. And the Elder Brains just tell them that, but it's not true.
Yeah.
The Elder Brains are just Elder Brains themselves.
They're just liars.
Basically. Yeah. They just want people to keep feeding them, and they don't have the ability to feed themselves because they got to live in a pool.
Hey, pretty good. Not a bad deal.
So that's
if I could use my psychic energies to trick people into doing work for me, I would. But so that's my problem is I have no psychic energy.
What?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep cutting you off.
What happened to your psychic energy, Peter?
I never had it in the first place.
What?
I am but a man.
What have you been doing your whole life?
I'm but a man.
How do you read people's minds while they're having sexual fantasies about you?
Can't say I've done that.
Whoa, dude.
Am I missing out?
You live a crazy life. That's what I gotta say.
I'm missing out on a lot of lost flexibility potentials.
I mean, you're missing out on some good stuff, and you're missing out on some bad stuff.
Some weird stuff.
I think you break even, honestly.
I can't even touch my toes.
Yeah, so that's our fourth D&D, or three and a half, third. Fourth, I don't know, yeah. 4.5, where are we on now? I have no idea. I don't know how...
4.5 was an update.
I don't know how arithmetic works. Yeah, that's our fourth episode of Dungeons and Dragons.
I like it. I like that it had a lot of Spelljammer ties. It feels like a true sequel to some of the other episodes that we've done, because D&D, at least the D&D episodes you've chosen to done, I find tie into themselves very nicely.
Yeah. The whole world is just so robust. Like, the whole universe of Dungeons and Dragons is so robust and filled out at this point. It's really easy to link things back, because there's almost always a tie somewhere, you know?
It's older than we are, thankfully.
Yeah. The more pins tied to yarn you put on the board, the more likely two are to cross, right?
Yeah, until it's just an entire cork board that looks like a knitting project, because it's just all yarn.
Until you've knit, like, a giant dick butt mural.
Yeah, basically. Oh, God, please.
Somebody who has 10,000 hours to knit us a 16-foot-tall dick butt mural, please do it.
Well, that would tie into our Loreboys Prime coupon, so yeah. that's very fortunate, but first...
It really ties into our brand, too.
Yeah.
Because we're dicks with butts.
I've got a butt.
I've got a butt, too. No psychic abilities, but he's got a butt.
I do.
So, Peter...
If you'd like to spank me on the internet... I'm regretting that take. Son of a bitch.
Spank me, Peter Sensei.
Oh, but Ethan-kun, you're so kawaii. I'm at Peter Donahue on Twitter, old Aunt Peter on Instagram. I do the artwork, loreboys.com. The Loreboys podcast on Instagram.
It is theloreboys.com, too.
Theloreboys.com.
I'll buy that domain.
You did?
No, I'll buy loreboys.com, because you keep dropping
it. I know, I keep dropping it. Fuck. Yep, that's it. I'm Petey. I'm the cartoonist.
Sure is.
That's me. And maybe Ethan and I will find something to stream together. That would be nice.
Yeah, at some point, for sure. I got to go. I'm going to a concert tonight. I'm going to try and start streaming weekends. Maybe not next weekend, because I'm going to Massachusetts to see another show.
I'm fairly certain Jambo, when he gets back from Poland, will pick up streaming duties again, all things considered.
Yeah, probably.
He's always been reliable. He's just been away on business
and
for...
he's got all the time in the world. I'm Ethan Palmer. You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man. Like Pete said, we're theloreboys.com. If you like the show, tell your friends. Helps us out, word of mouth.
Also, I did want to thank everybody who's left a review thus far. We don't have too many written reviews, but we are up to something like 15, 16 reviews total on iTunes.
Yeah.
All 5 stars, except for one star, so we're at 4.5. I don't know who you are, because you didn't leave a real review with no criticism, therefore
Coward.
It is meaningless. Yeah, exactly, you spineless sack of shit.
Yeah.
It was probably Justin Trudeau.
And we do have... Roasted. We do have at... J Milk, JAYMILLK.
Yep, and then he is James Miller _TLB on Instagram.
And James the Miller on Facebook.
Yep.
He's our the third boy who's not here right now.
He's been gone for a while, but...
He's been gone for almost a month.
Well, fuck,
we are in his apartment recording right now.
As usual. Yeah, it's like, listen, just because someone goes to Europe doesn't mean we need to break routine.
Exactly.
And weirdly enough, we had like 2 business trips stacked on top of each other, but mine luckily was only 5 days.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Ethan will be shipped somewhere on Earth at some point, presumably.
At some point, presumably.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for anyone who wants to help the show out financially.
Yep, remember your coupon.
We have a very special... deal with our program Loreboys Premium, which we offer to paying members, where we give them a special service in return for a minuscule
pittance.
Yeah, basically nothing. So since researching this episode, I've been doing a little bit of research into phlogiston, the 18th century purported combustible material or essence of combustion
that exists in all things.
And I really think I've nailed it down.
It's the last humor. You have yellow fluid, the yellow humor,
yeah.
White humor, blood, and, a black one to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And fire.
And rainbow fire.
Yeah, and rainbow fire.
The fifth humor. So I think I've really got it nailed down. It's a pinch of kerosene. You got about a cup of rocket fuel. You got straight ether gas and the secret ingredient. And we are making bottles of this stuff. It is highly combustible.
Neapolitan ice
will
cream.
Will burn down your house. Will burn down your life.
If you
need a clean start,
yeah.
We've got beer bottles emptied out and then filled with this substance.
And also rags.
A rag dipped in for convenience of use. Yeah. And for everybody who signs up to Lore Boys Premium for the low, low price of $37.99 a month, we'll get one of these in the mail. We don't have any bubble wrap, so we're just shipping it as is.
Yeah,
basically slapping a sticker and a stamp on it.
Yeah.
With your name, no return address, certainly not our names. We're not putting our names on that bad boy.
I'm just going to open a phone book. I'm going to choose a random-ass loser from Cornwall, Ontario, and that's the return address.
Yeah, so everybody wants to support the show financially and get a free bottle of phlogiston with a rag tucked into it.
Yeah.
Make sure to sign up for that. And I think that's it for us here at the Lore Boys Studios, and that constitutes a Lore Boys...
Lore Boys insurance fraud. What?
We're recording. Are you ready to record?
We're recording what?
We're recording the podcast.
What?
Right now, we're doing the podcast. Oh, God.
Is this why you asked me to wear a wire?
God. Yeah, we're doing it all on a body tape.
Okay.
That's what you call those things, right?
Yeah,
the FBI has average Joe wear when he goes to see the mob?
Yeah, you need to wear a body tape.
A body tape.
Which, if The Simpsons has taught me anything, it's to record over Hootie and the Blowfish. Because it is cheaper than blank tape.
Exactly. Hi, everybody.
Is that it? That's our intro?
That might be our intro. That's why I gave a pause between hi, everybody. I figured
okay,
I could.
Yeah.
But now I feel like we're committed.
Editor's note. Possible intro no one will ever hear. I bought chewing tobacco in Missouri a couple weeks ago.
Do you chew tobacco?
No, good. I don't even smoke.
That's gross.
Yeah.
If you chew tobacco, you're not gross.
I just hate my front teeth.
I don't want to kiss you, is what I'm saying.
Not on the mouth.
Not on the mouth. On the feet, if you just wash them.
Hey.
Because that's hygienic.
Because I'm a freak.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.